Lecture topic, honor through humility.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نقصت صدقة من مال وما زاد الله عبدا بعفو إلا عزا وما تواضع أحد لله إلا رفعه الله عز وجل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, it is our iman and every mu'min, whether he is somebody on a very high position in terms of knowledge, he has very great ilm, he might be a very senior personality in terms of dini research, might be the greatest mufti of the time, whether it is somebody who has some very basic elementary knowledge of deen, whether it is somebody who is an elderly person or even a young child also who has sufficient understanding of deen, whether it is male or female, but anybody who has iman in his heart, then that iman will testify within him and that will be his faith within him, that whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, that will always be 100% the way he has said it. It is possible that the sun, instead of rising from the east, can rise from the west. It is possible that maybe some mountain might just start flying like some feather in the air. These things are believable. It's possible. Somebody tells us it might not be something that we expect to happen in that manner. Before Qiyamah it will happen. But that's believable. But what is not believable is that something that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that does not happen as he said it. Vehicle CL92LHZN. CL92LH. Please remove this one. So that is our iman. And therefore, it is our good fortune that we totally submit ourselves to whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, whatever his guidance has been, whatever path of life he has shown us and taught us, then to now leave that and try something else, that is our misfortune. That is a great disaster, in fact. So all the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, if we take it to heart, then our deen and our dunya, everything will be in place. Dunya is dunya. Dunya is not Jannat. So dunya will come with these challenges. But if we take to heart what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, what he has left behind as his legacy for the Ummat, his teachings and guidance, then even in how to get past those challenges and how to maintain one's composure, how to still be a human being and not just an ordinary human being, a true mu'min, how to still be in this manner, that is all possible if a person just attaches himself to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we shift from this, then we invite all the difficulties and hardships that we could have easily avoided. So now there's one hadith sharif of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned three things. All these three things appear to be the opposite of what our mind tells us. The first aspect, مَا نَقَسَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. Sadaqa never decreases wealth. Now, as much as we might think of it in any other way, that is the reality. And that is the iman that we must have. That is the firm yaqeen and conviction we must have. Then as far as the tarteeb is concerned, this is the iman. There is no other aspect but what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. There's no ifs and buts to it. It is simply that sadaqah never decreases wealth. What my eye sees can be deceiving. But what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is 100%. There can be no two ways about it. So his declaration is sadaqah never decreases wealth, has never decreased it, and will never decrease it. مَا نَقَسَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. As far as a tarteeb is concerned, what should be the procedure of things? So then the Quran Sharif has given us a tarteeb. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. That don't completely hold back and don't give everything away, because everybody is not of the same caliber and same capacity. Some person will give everything away and the next day now he'll start begging. And somebody will give everything away and no matter what comes upon him, he'll be still very content with Allah Ta'ala. So now everybody's capacity is not the same. So the tarteeb, according to a person's capacity, he'll take the advice of people who can guide him correctly. But the iman is simply one thing only. مَا نَقَسَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. And likewise, the next aspect. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةً. That when a person forgives, then the only thing that happens is Allah increases his honor and respect. It cannot happen any other way. That is iman. That is the firm yaqeen to be on the statement of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when a person forgives and overlooks, then there's only one outcome of it. And the one outcome is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared, وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةً. That when a person forgives, Allah will increase his respect. Now whatever the logic tells us, whatever our mind tells us, whatever we think might be the way actually, I think it might be, we think nothing. We only wholeheartedly accept what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. And the third aspect, which is the topic that we want to discuss today, that وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And a person never humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala. Not for any other purpose. Not for any other motivation and purpose. Purely that my Allah must become pleased. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ. That the person who humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala. Tawada, the Arabic language, every formation of a word also has specific meanings. So now this particular formation, tawada, person under familiar with the Arabic language, you'll know that this comes from tafa'ul, which means there's a degree of takalluf, that a person forces himself to be humble, even if he doesn't want to. One is it becomes natural. He naturally responds in a certain way, which is a humble manner of going about things. But for any reason that hasn't yet happened, that hasn't become his nature yet, then he forces himself to do that, to humble himself. But for who? For Allah Ta'ala alone. If that is the case, that he has humbled himself only for Allah, not for dunya, not for name and fame, that is the worst form of takabbur. That a person is presenting himself in a humble manner so that it will attract attention and people might now start regarding him as a humble person. That is takabbur in the form and in the guise of tawazu, which is a very high level of takabbur. So now this aspect of tawazu, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ. If a person humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala, Allah will elevate him. This is a very key aspect and one of the greatest highlights that we'll find in the lives of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the lives of the Sahaba ikram, the lives of all the pious personalities, aspect of tawazu. And why would this be such a fundamental aspect? Because everything is in, goes along in pairs. If there's day, then opposite is night. And if there's health, there's sickness. There's strength, there's weakness. There's prosperity, then there's poverty. So if there's tawazu on one side, what's on the other side? The other side is takabbur.
In ZH. CL.
CL92LH, please remove the vehicle. So in any case, one side is tawazu. Tawazu is this very fundamental quality that we should be possessing. So what is the opposite of it? If tawazu is lacking, what will be there? So tawazu, the other end of it is takabbur, pride. And the first sin, the first disobedience that ever took place in this universe was the disobedience that Iblis committed. And the disobedience of Iblis, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif. The command Allah Ta'ala gave, and Iblis rejected. Aba. Allah Ta'ala said, Aba. He rejected. I'm not doing this. Make sajda towards Adam alayhi salam. I'm not doing this. Aba. But then, one is already expressed that he didn't do it. He refused to do it. But what was the underlying issue that caused this rejection? What was the underlying issue that brought about this such blatant disobedience? Wastakbar. His pride. Pride resulted in this disobedience. And wakana min al kafirin. And the pride led him to become among the disbelievers. The key problem that he had was pride. So everything was looking fine. It was carrying on very well outwardly. Everything was running so-called smoothly. But when there's sometimes like something very flammable, something very flammable is already inside, whatever it might be, now there's some heap of all kinds of flammable things all just heaped up there. And there's somebody poured petrol over it also. So now what it requires, just one small spark. Somebody just strikes one match close to it. All it's in waiting for to happen is one match. That one match will cause that explosion suddenly. Now a person sometimes wonder, but does one match cause such a big explosion? How come? One small spark, such a big explosion? It is not the spark alone that caused such a big explosion. All the flammable things were all in there. That fuel was already soaking in it. It only is waiting for this to happen. And there's one spark then caused. It's not the spark. It what was inside. Otherwise that spark hit dry grass. Forget spark. The person is trying to light that green grass, that wet grass, some wet leaves. He's trying over and over again. He's dying off. That flame is dying off. That wood that is not dried off. He's trying hard, but the thing is dying off. He can't light it. But this just one spark and the whole thing exploded, what happened? It's not the spark alone. It's what was there. This just became the catalyst. This just became the catalyst for that explosion. So likewise, when that takabbur is filled inside, when the takabbur is outwardly everything, mashallah, will be looking so nice, looking so smooth, everything will be looking so wonderful, everybody will be wanting to ask us for du'as. They'll want to bring their children. Please make du'a, put a hand on my child's head also. And so many things they'll want because of our external appearance of piety, mashallah. But then what's inside? Sometimes on the occasion, suddenly that explosion, it shows what's inside. Now that is that inside that has to be treated. This is this takabbur. This uncontrolled anger stems from takabbur. The aspect of zulm and a person committing excesses, trampling other people's rights, harming people, stems from where? From takabbur. Now many things can't see the link, But the mashayikh have spoken, you know, people who went through the mill, who saw this up and down, they went through all this and saw how this thing happens, where's the link, and in the light of that, this details from the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't just pull this out of the air. This is after deep study of the Quran and Sunnah and the lessons that come forth from there. In light of all that, they have highlighted this and they spelt it out, that one of the most damaging aspects, most disastrous things that can be in a person, and after all, this is what toppled Shaitan. The first disobedience that happened in the universe was this disobedience of Shaitan. And Allah described it in the Quran Sharif in these words, Aba wastakbar. He rejected, but the underlying issue was wastakbar, his pride. And then what happened? What the pride made him do? Pride then, number one, leads to rejecting the truth. And then leads to justifying the wrong. Number one, he rejected the command of Allah Ta'ala. Now, what else is there to think about? Allah's command directly. And now, there's no issue. There's nothing to, okay, I'm not sure. Direct command from Allah Ta'ala, and he rejected it. But now that was number one. But then pride, now justifying the wrong. That's what happens out of pride. If out of pride a person, something came out of his tongue. For example, somebody told him that, I told you this task to do, and you didn't do it. Whatever. So I told you buy something and come, this, we needed this for the house. He said, no, you didn't tell me. What came out from his tongue, you didn't tell me. Why it came out from his tongue? Okay, he forgot. He completely forgot that he was told about it. You didn't tell me. Now in any case, it came out from his tongue, you didn't tell me, and now he made one bigger drama about it. But then 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, he remembered, no, definitely, I was told about this. I was told about it. But now it came out from his tongue, you didn't tell me. Now he remembers 100%. I was told about it. But that pride will never ever allow him to retract that. That pride, if that subject comes up again, now it will lead him to lying. Now he remembers it clearly. First time round he forgot, it was genuinely forgotten. And in that forgetfulness he said what he said. Now he is no more in that forgetfulness, he remembers it 100%. Now this sounds like one very odd thing, this is a daily thing. In different ways and different contexts, but this carries on daily, where something came out from a person's mouth, but now when he realized his own wrong, his mistake, whatever, but pride becomes a barrier from retracting it. Never it'll come out. He realizes later on that I shouldn't have said what I said or did what I did. That was wrong. It was my mistake. But if that pride comes in the way, that retraction will become impossible. Rather, there'll be further justification. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِّنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِّنْ طِينٍ. Iblis started his justification of what? Something that can't be justified in any way. But he started justifying it. In front of whom? To Allah Ta'ala. But this is the effect of takabbur and pride. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. I am better. You created me out of fire, created him out of dust, the natural quality of sand is it will come down, you throw it up in the air, it will still fall. Fire, you light that flames go high up. So I'm better. And he started using his flawed logic, trying to justify the unjustifiable. But that is all what takabbur makes a person do. Then he'll take it to whatever level to have the last say. In the process, he'll break whatever, so many things damage and cause so much of harm. But I must have the last say. And there's no way I'm going to retract. There's no way I'm going to make any amends. So now this is that message and lesson that the mashayikh give us, that look, this tawazu is so essential, because on the other side of tawazu is this takabbur. And the absence of this tawazu will mean there'll be takabbur. And then when there's takabbur, then there'll be problems everywhere. There'll be problems in a home, there'll be problems in the extended family, there'll be problems in a workplace, there'll be problems between people in a community, meaning problems that could easily be resolved. Dunya is dunya. A lot of things happen in dunya. But Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who is the captain of this whole qafla and this whole caravan of the Ahlullah of Dioban. He says, people keep talking about unity and brotherhood, but the essential ingredient of this, that they don't talk about. What's going to bring about this? He says, if people have tawazu, then there is no problem or nothing that can't be resolved with ease. People truly have tawazu. Problems come, dunya is dunya. Sometimes some mistake, sometimes something happens, some misunderstanding, somebody just... Mistakes happen, insan is insan. But if there's tawazu, there's humility, then it can be easily resolved. And it'll not just get easily resolved. Inshallah, it might even build the relationship up better than what it was to. Not necessary. But the thing is, the problem will get resolved. But if there's takabbur, then this is a very serious matter. Then it's very difficult. So now this aspect of tawazu, because this takabbur is such a major problem, therefore this tawazu has to be developed. Now, in order to understand what tawazu is all about, so one of the very effective aspects is to learn about the tawazu of those who had it, and who had more tawazu than the greatest being that Allah Ta'ala created, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's makhluk, and the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the most beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite being at the peak of everything, he possessed the greatest amount of humility as well. Now to learn about his humility, to learn about the humility of the Anbiya alayhi salam, of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in particular, the humility of the Sahaba, of the pious personalities, to read about it, this has a very great impact on the heart, to hear about it, discuss it, and not just for the sake of knowledge, but that this is the direction. This is the way I need to also move. This is what I need to emulate. This is what I need to bring in my life. This humility. The seed, one seed, so to say, so to speak, it says that I am not prepared to be buried. My seat is a golden platter. I'll remain on a golden platter, surrounded by some rubies and gems maybe. So now you put that seed on it, because that seed diffused to anything else. My place is this golden platter, and surrounded by gems and rubies. Leave it there. After some time, the moisture will get into it. And after a little bit more time, you'll see it starting to rot. And after a little bit more time, it'll be completely gone, wasted. And maybe even some smell and odor will be there, because it'll be now a mess. Why? Because this seed, it wanted to be left on that pedestal. I will not humble myself for anybody. This is my place. And another seed, so to say, so to speak, it accepts that, okay, I am ready to be buried. So,
Blokia CL92.
Blokia CL92LH. Blokia CL92LH. So, this seed accepted, what it accepted, I'm fine, I'm ready to be buried. So now it gets buried. So now there's actually an explanation of one poem in Urdu. Dana khak mein milkar gulo gulzar banta hai. There's a first part to it as well, time is limited. So this seed now accepts, okay, I'm fine with getting buried. So now it gets buried. After a while, it's totally annihilated in the ground. Don't see anything there. But what happens, what you see actually happening now is, there's a shoot coming through. And because the seed accepted to be humbled, to be buried, to be annihilated, now that annihilation gave rise to something that's going to become so life, full of life, that now the shoot came through. And as the shoot started coming through the ground, what happened? Ashraful makhluqat, insan, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Allah Ta'ala put it in the khidmat of this plant. You look after it now. Water it. any weeds coming around that can harm it, you take it out. You do the weeding every day. This shoot, this seed annihilated itself, accepted to be humble. Allah Ta'ala put insan in his khidmat now. You look after it. And now as it grows, you tend to it and look after the whole process. And now after some time, then what happens? This becomes a plant and then grows into a tree. And now from that one seed, the production, there's hundreds of fruit that have come. And that hundreds of fruit, each one got its seed. And as this goes along, then that fruit gives so much of benefit to people. The tree itself gives shade to people. The tree becomes, mashallah, it blossoms and all the flowers, it becomes a means of attraction and calm, cools a person's sight. He looks at that tree, mashallah. Then, if that tree, nothing else, that wood someday will give benefit in some other way, people will make some furniture out of it. So many things came out of what? One seed accepting to annihilate itself. Now, when annihilated itself, outcome. But that seed was on the golden platter. After a while, where it went. So now this tawazu, this humility, Allah loves this humility. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah, the one who humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala, so Allah elevates him. Why? Allah loves this quality. Allah Ta'ala loves that a person humbles himself. And this humility starts from where? From the heart. One person had his neck very down. Umar radiallahu anhu reprimanded him. He told him, humility is in the heart, not in the neck. So it's not how a person has to try and now make takalluf physically and so on. No, no, he'll carry on normally. But his heart will be very humble. What is the humbleness of this heart? The Thani rahmatullah alayhi, that muraqabah of his which he explained and which many times we've discussed, says, daily I remind myself. A daily muraqabah. Now, we don't find the need for it because we don't see any problem with ourselves. I'm fine, everything is fine. So what do I need to put myself through all this? I don't need. But he felt the need for it. And felt the need for it daily. Says every day I remind myself part of this muraqabah that at this moment in time, I am the lowest of every Muslim. I am the lowest of every Muslim. Now sometimes it might appear that, but now somebody, I just passed him on the way and came. I was coming to the masjid. He was walking with some drink and going in the opposite direction. He was already in an intoxicated state. How am I going to regard myself as better than him? So do I know my end result and his end result? Yes, in this moment in time, he was involved in a sin and Allah Ta'ala saved me from that sin. But the sum total, I still don't know. But yes, the sin is a sin. There's no way to condone a sin or to say it's not a sin. But despite that sin being a serious matter, there might be some other things. He has some external problems. He has apparent sins in his life. So now those apparent sins are major problems. But he might have a very clean heart apart from that. How Allah will deal with him, I don't know. But if I am safe from apparent sins and in my heart is soaked in pride, in malice, in jealousy, in arrogance, how I'll be judged, I don't know. Allah forbid, all this overcomes all the external amal also. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be weighed. Both sides are going to be weighed. What's going to become heavier? The righteous deeds or these serious maladies of the heart on the other end? So yes, the sin is a sin. But we don't have any idea. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi, you say that this is a very sensitive matter and something to be very concerned about. He says, no matter what somebody's apparent condition might be, meaning on a negative side of things, don't ever taunt him. Correct him. Make dua for him. Don't ever taunt anybody on their external condition, because that taunt will come out of takabbur. And Allah forbid, that could topple one. Despite his own outward piety and whatever else, but taunting somebody, one is to regard a sin is compulsory. You cannot regard a sin as not a sin. But to look down upon a person because of his condition, to taunt somebody on the wrong, that is an extremely dangerous matter. That can topple a person. And this is an incident mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. The Bani Israel, two brothers, one was outwardly very pious, everything going well, the other had his own life. And this person used to keep advising him, keep telling him. And time went on. One day, something came out of his mouth. Again, he saw this person involved in some wrong, and he blurted out, "Allah will never forgive you." So both of them, their time came, they were taken from this world. Allah Ta'ala said, "Who is this person who's taking a qasam that I will never forgive somebody? What right you had for that?" So Allah Ta'ala gave the angels the command, take this person to Jahannam. And this person, I've forgiven him because he had hope in my mercy. That's not a license for anybody to just carry on a wanton life. We have no idea what's our tomorrow. And Allah forbid going on sinning on the notion that I'll sort it out later. Allah forbid that that thought of toba also doesn't come. And sins then take a person one step to the other. Allah forbid, as stated, Al-Ma'asi Baridul Kufr. Sins becomes the stepping stone sometimes to even kufr. One leads to other, that leads to something. Allah forbid, way it finishes off. So in any case, coming back to the aspect of this tawazu, this humility, on one occasion, this we just mentioned this muraqabah of the Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. He said, "Look, I'm fasting, but whatever the subject matter was, in that process this came up. He said, "I'm fasting right now." Why he said it? In case you think I'm just saying something for the sake of saying it, I'm telling you, look, I'm fasting right now. And I'm telling you something which is the condition of my heart. So he was giving a lesson to people around him who were associated to him. He said, "I'm taking a qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala. I'm fasting and taking this qasam that I cannot think of anybody at this point in time, anyone who's lower than me. I genuinely believe from the depth of my heart, I'm the lowest of everybody." Now that he had need for that muraqabah daily, that this became the condition of his heart also. We don't find the need for it, so life carries on. But this major problem lies there. And as a result, all it requires is a small spark every now and again. But that spark is highlighting what's inside. And when that explodes now, what happens, how things unfold, what dramas take place. Marriages break sometimes, and families break apart. What not happens? But this is the thing to treat. Nobody can make any claim that I'm free of it. And that is the first problem sometimes we have, the problem of denial. If I look deep down in my heart, I got the same problem to deal with. And we all have to make our effort to clean our hearts out. The purpose of all these discussions is not just for the sake of some knowledge. It's to take active steps to do what is required to correct ourselves. Because just now moth will come, then what? When you're going to be laid in the qabr, if that is all lurking in the heart, what's going to be our condition? At the time of moth, what will be the condition? So this is the whole issue, that we need to work on our hearts to correct ourselves, cleanse our hearts out of all these maladies, to the point that this inshallah, thumma inshallah, starts becoming a natural quality. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith filled with about the discussion about his humility. So many ahadith, just to touch on one or two things, among the aspects mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, for example, that yashhadul janaiz. Now, such a simple, straightforward thing. He is to attend the janazas. Janazas of who? So now if it is somebody very prominent, somebody very well known, so then everybody will attend the janaza. And somebody unknown, then there's a need now to ask people, please come and assist, because now somebody has passed away and there might be not even sufficient people to assist in the burial. So now why? Because I have no idea who this person is. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's condition was, it could be anyone. The most prominent person, or the least known person. But if there was a janaza, he attended it. Now sometimes a person cannot make it for whatever reason, something. But not based purely on this. That I know the person, I don't know him. Or this person is unknown, so let it be. No, this was out of this pure humility, that no matter who it was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there. Then among the things mentioned, Yarkabul Himar. Now in our context, we won't understand this easily. But he would, without any issue, ride on a donkey. Now in that zamana, the best mode of conveyance was the horse. Then next to it was the camel. And then last in the line would be the donkey. Without any airs about himself, he would, without any issue, ride on a donkey, and nothing, it would mean nothing to him. Now, one is over thinking about it, okay, but imagine now somebody who's in a very high position in society, he's got a very high respect and whatever. Now, he needed, well, to go somewhere, so he just jumped in what? Maybe in the back of an open buggy. Back of an open buggy, even a closed buggy, it will become difficult. On the back of an open buggy, where you think he's going to sit? Possible? Even out of desperation, you say, I'd rather wait, I'll catch a lift. Get an Uber, maybe. Back of an open buggy, this brings to mind, maybe just about a year ago, one person mentioned one incident to me. So he was living in Moirava, and but the person whose incident was, he mentioned to this person who told me, so there's only one person in between. The person who was part of the incident is still living, very elderly, still living. So Hazrat Maulana Spadil Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, my marhum brother, was living in Moirava initially. And at that time, there were no vehicles and cars that people had in every home. One, two people had here and there. And many things happened purely, well, you have to make your way somehow. So from Moirava, if he had to travel, we used to live in, parents were living in Stanger, it would be often by catching a lift. He had to come to Maritzburg for any work or anything, but by catching a lift. So this elderly person mentioned to the person who told it to me directly, says that he was one day coming, now he was living in Moirava as well, he's coming from Moirava to Peter Maritzburg in an open buggy with one person who used to work for him, whatever. So the two of them are seated in front. And now as he's coming, he comes onto the freeway. So he sees Ma standing there and hitching a lift. So he immediately stopped. But now when he stopped, he realized that Ma's family was also seated on the side somewhere. So now they were hitching a lift to come to wherever, Maritzburg or something. So he stopped and he said, Ma, please, where you want to go to? He said, you're going to Peter Maritzburg. He said, well, I'm going to Peter Maritzburg also. So very good. Myself and this assistant of mine will jump in the back. You drive and Appa will sit in the front and you carry on. So Ma said, then I'm not accepting your lift. He said, you want me to accept your lift on one condition. You all carry on sitting in the front, we'll sit in the back. So he said, I'm trying to reason with him that there's no need for this. You can drive. And he said, look, I'm accepting your lift on this condition. If you don't want to accept this condition, you carry on. He said, out of desperation to give him the lift, I accepted that. And with great difficulty, we jumped in the back, meaning out of this embarrassment that now we sitting in the front and leaving him in the back, with this difficulty we carried on, just in order to nevertheless give him the lift. And he sat in the back of that open buggy. Now, this is such an unimaginable thing for us. But it was a reality there. Now this is that it cannot stem from anywhere else but when there is natural humility. Now this natural humility is not something that person can, you know, put his hand on his forehead and see what's the amount of fever. Check in some other way, what's the pulse now? Okay, the humility is so much. This will show itself on occasion. It will show itself in the reactions. It will show itself within a person, how his thinking went. Nobody else knows what happened. It all happened within him. But whatever happened, something happened, and where his thoughts ran. That will be an indication of what is inside. This tawazu inside or this takabbur inside. Then now the thoughts are running. I just have to keep quiet now, but wait, I'll fix this fellow up. What he thinks of himself, who he thinks he is. If my mind is running in that manner, who he thinks he is, meaning he doesn't know who I am. He's trying to be better than me. He doesn't know I'm better than him. So that is now such a glaring sign of the takabbur inside. But now if there's a big neon sign, flashing lights, but the person's eyes are closed, what can he see? It's saying danger, don't come near. This is a huge ditch here, deep excavation, that lights are flashing, but his eyes are closed. He'll walk straight into it. Our inner sight, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Ta'ala says, not the physical sight that becomes blind, rather it's the hearts inside that become blind. Then glaring things, where the harm is, I can't see it. Where the benefit is, I can't see it. I go headlong in the harm, and I don't want the benefit. Why? Because my eyes are closed to the benefit, the inner sight. And what the harms are, that too is closed. So this, when it becomes natural, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullah alayh, the giant of a personality who he was, he's once sitting in the courtyard of the masjid and he's teaching Hadith Sharif. And now suddenly out of the blue, it started raining. So now when it started raining, all the students, their first concern was the kitabs mustn't get wet. So now they quickly grabbed their kitabs and they rushed into the sheltered area because they were in the open area. It was a hot day. So now everybody got too occupied with trying to make sure that the kitabs don't get wet and the desks don't get wet. So they're grabbing all this and running out because it just suddenly started coming in quickly. And then when everybody came under the sheltered area, now somebody was looking, but where's Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahab, their ustad? Now as they turn around to see, while everybody was busy rushing in, taking the kitabs, he got busy gathering everybody's shoes, which were outside in the open as well. And in his shawl, he gathered all the shoes, and he's coming with the shoes. So now somebody said, Hazrat, but how can... He says, if I'm not going to carry the shoes of those who are engaged in Qala Allah, Qala Rasul, what else am I going to do in life? This is my honor. Now it was now a sudden thing. And everybody in that sudden moment did what they had to do. He in that sudden moment did what was natural in him. There was no time to sit down and think and at least make istikhara. It was what was within him, natural. And there are so many incidents. One person used to write a lot of abusive things against him. Person involved in bid'at and so on. And he used to write abusive articles and letters and whatever else. Hazrat Ma Yahya Khandalwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the father of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Ma Zakir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to be in charge of the correspondence. He would read out these letters. So one, two, three letters came like that. Then now whenever those letters used to come, he used to put it aside. Don't read it. At that point in time, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi had become blind. He had lost his sight. So some time passed and one day he says to Hazrat Ma Yahya Sahib, that for long our friend hasn't remembered us. Our friend hasn't remembered us. He's talking about this person writing these abusive letters. Meaning no letter came. So my Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi replied and said, Hazrat, he hasn't forgotten. His letters are still coming just as much. I don't have the ability and I can't read it. It's full of all kinds of abuse and vulgarity. I can't read it. Because I would read it out to you. I can't bring it on my tongue. I can't read it. I can't look at it too. So I said, no. I listen to it with this intention. That in the midst of all the other things, upside down things he's saying, there might be something that he's saying is correct also, then I'll correct myself on that. That he might be saying something in midst of everything, something he noticed about me, which is valid. And an enemy will scrutinize the person. An enemy, he'll look for the faults. So now he was concerned that he'll be looking for my faults. There might be something valid. Now if somebody corrects us, that's another part of takabbur. That in the Hadith Sharif it is, that what is takabbur? Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. Takabbur is rejecting the truth. Meaning something is correct, what is being told to one. What is being told is truth. It's correct. But who are you to tell me? I know better. I'll sort myself out. Whereas something is being told, if a person says, look, I think there's some scorpion or something sitting on your back, subhanallah, he'll be so grateful. He might even, after thanking him on the spot, getting rid of it, he'll later on send another message also. Oh, Jazakallah, you really did me a great favor. And he might send one gift as well. Why? Because a scorpion might would have harmed him, whatever would have happened. If somebody corrected our mistake, which helped us to correct some wrong, which could have become a big problem in Akhirat, could have become a big problem in dunya also, is that favor any less than getting the scorpion off your back? But that becomes a problem for us. Why? Al-kibru batarul haq. What is pride? Pride, the element of pride, is to reject the truth. That pride becomes a barrier. I'm not ready to accept this. Who are you to tell me? Now this is what causes so many issues even in homes, between spouses. Each one wants to have the last say, and then marriages are broken apart. What not happens in family circles, in every other situation? Much of it could be easily avoided if we just adopted tawazu. We adopted tawazu, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Tawazu for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the aspect that was mentioned before it in the Hadith Sharif as well. Ma zadallahu abdan bi'afwin illa izza. That a person who forgives, Allah ta'ala elevates him. Allah ta'ala raises his respect and honor. These are not things just for the theory. These are realities. These are realities. People who adopted this, they experienced the benefit of it. The real benefit is that we'll appear in front of Allah ta'ala in a condition Allah is pleased with us. That is the goal. That my Rabb must be pleased with me. While I'm on this earth, on the face of this earth as well. And most importantly, when the time of my ruh leave, time comes to leave this dunya and my ruh is being extracted, then I must be in a condition that Allah ta'ala is pleased with me. And just as I want to be externally clean, external cleanliness is part of iman. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. But just as external cleanliness is important and very necessary, far more important is internal cleanliness. The cleanliness and purity of the heart. Have a clean heart. Allah Ta'ala loves this. This is what we have to aspire for. Where this is going to happen from, how it's going to happen, this is the whole effort of tazkiyah. This is about purifying oneself. The whole aspect which has been repeatedly mentioned in the Quran Sharif. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who brings iman in his Rabb, he believes in Allah Ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا. The one who comes to Allah Ta'ala in a condition that he has iman. And then, together with iman, وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. He's also done righteous actions, meaning Allah's commands is fulfilled. Stayed away from the wrongs. Then what is there for him? فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. Then for such a person is very high stages in Akhirat. And then further Allah says, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِيَ الْنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. That the gardens of Jannah, which beneath which rivers flow, and this everlasting gardens of Jannah, for who is this? وَذَٰلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَن تَزَكَّى. This is the recompense for those tazakkah, who made their tazkiyah. So iman and amal saliha, that is the condition. That's the precondition for this direct entry into Jannah. But who will fulfill this precondition? Who will get to this? Who will get to this is man tazakkah. The one who's made his tazkiyah, he'll be able to fulfill this. He'll be able to get to this point that will take him to these high stages of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. This requires that we submit ourselves somewhere. We find somebody who is able to guide us, who we have that compatibility with. We find that connection. And not just namesake. In reality, we then connect ourselves, take the advice, take the direction, spell out our problems, and take the advice and guidance. This is the process by which treatment takes place in any sphere. If a person goes to the doctor to say, Assalamu alaikum, I'm very well. He says, you shouldn't have come. He says, people don't come here to say they're very well. that socially we meet somewhere, we'll ask each other how you are, everything's fine, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Person goes for treatment, he goes to say what's the problem. And he seeks the advice, he seeks the treatment, he adopts the treatment also. He doesn't just go and seek the advice and then leave it there. He adopts it, he applies it within himself, he takes the benefit of it. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا الله جل جلاله عم نواله Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك الله لا اله الا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا احدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا ظلمنا انفسنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the sins we did deliberately and mistakenly, Ya Allah. Forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ilahul Alameen, make us your loyal and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, purify us, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts from all the evils, Ya Allah. From all the vices, Ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out of takabbur, Ya Allah. Of pride, malice, jealousy, arrogance, Ya Allah. From all the evils of the heart, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let every vein, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, ooze with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove all the ghaflat from our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with your zikr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us forever conscious of you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Put the yearning for jannat, Ya Allah. The yearning to see you in jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to all that which you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that you are displeased with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to uphold his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Put the nafrat of the ways of Yahud and Nasara in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every taste of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those who are in any financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib risk for barakat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are in debts, Ya Allah, make the debts get paid out with afiyat and ease, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, whatever difficulty, anxiety, sorrow, grief, Ya Allah, whatever anybody is suffering, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant each one afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect each one's iman and amal, Ya Allah. Protect each Muslim's life, wealth and honor, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us each one, Ya Allah, the strength of iman, Ya Allah. Firm yaqeen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with khashiyat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, Ya Allah. Make us among the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. Make us among the muhsineen, Ya Allah. Make us among the tawabeen, Ya Allah. Make us among the mukhbiteen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us among those whom you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from following in the footsteps of shaitan and nafs, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any pain, suffering, hardship, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in each, to each one in their deen, Ya Allah, in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, O brothers and sisters of Palestine, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the brothers and sisters of Gaza, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you shower your blessings on them, Ya Allah. Shower your special help on them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you protect them, Ya Allah. Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. You help them, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduhika wa aduhihim. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduhika wa aduhihim. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduhika wa aduhihim. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, your qudrat is above everything, Ya Allah. We submit to you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we totally submit to every decree, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are very weak, Ya Allah. We beg for your afiyat, Ya Allah. Afiyat for ourselves, Ya Allah. For our families, Ya Allah. Afiyat for the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, afiyat for the people of Palestine and Gaza, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, show your afiyat on them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, show your afiyat on them, Ya Allah. Allahumma at'imuhum min ju' wa aminhum min khawf. Allahumma at'imuhum min ju' وآمنهم من خوف اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف إله العالمين يا الله the enemy grant them هداية يا الله إله العالمين if هداية is not decree for them يا الله wipe them out from the face of this earth يا الله اللهم زلزل أقدامهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.